690.
Welcome back. Simon Salikas in for Mitch Melnick with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. This is Melnick in the Afternoon on a TSN 690. I'm in here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and also Friday at noon, a Friday scrum. I heard a couple of days ago, you're not sure who's hosting the scrum. You know who's hosting the scrum.
You're applying for the job? Is that it, Simo?
Hey, man, I'm in for Mitch. I take over Mitch's responsibilities the entire day. I run the second floor here at Bell Media with an iron fist. I host a drive show, and I'm hosting Habs Lunch on Friday between 12 and 1. But joining us now, as he does every day, NBC hockey analyst Pierre Maguire.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwoods sandwich.
How you doing, Pierre?
I'm good. I don't know if you'll be good on Friday when Knuckles and Tony get a hold of you.
Yes, that is a tough crowd. Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. Tony's a big dude. I think my athletic ability, I can, you know, bob and weave a little bit, but Knuckles is going to eat me up. That is for sure. That is without question.
Well, that'll be fun. I'll be listening for that.
All right. Pierre, just earlier today, Rod and I were just taking in the scenes from Pittsburgh. The Stanley Cup parade went down today. Just maybe some of the memories from when you guys were having your parades in the early 90s.
The first parade was pretty awesome in 91. We actually did it in the park. Right by Three Rivers, which was awesome. It was really amazing, near the Ohio, the Pennsylvania, and Monongahela. It was pretty cool at the park down where the big water fountain is. The second year, we actually did it at the baseball stadium that doesn't exist anymore. And Brian Trotsky slid into second base with a cup in his hands. It was pretty impressive.
Nice.
But the stadium was full. There were, I think, 65 or 70,000 people there. It's something that you never forget. It's something that never gets old, and it's very addicting. Very addicting.
Yeah, I would imagine. Pierre, yesterday I was listening to the show, and you were talking about a word that was out there that Alex Galchenyuk perhaps being shopped around by the Montreal Canadiens. And a lot of speculation today, and people are just trying to match this and that. But you know, one of the names that comes up is Jonathan Drouin. But just strictly from a hockey perspective, if the Canadians are even thinking about trading Alex Galchenyuk for a guy like Jonathan Drouin, isn't that just a clear comparable? Isn't just you're trading pretty much the same player for the same player?
No, they're different. They're really they're different types of players. They really are. They're really different types of players. In terms of points, they're both point producers, but they're different players. One is far more explosive speed-wise, Drouin, than the other one, Galchenyuk. One is a little bit bigger, Galchenyuk. One might have more supple hands and be more of a playmaker, Galchenyuk. One might be a better pure finisher, Drouin. So they're not really comparable players. They'll both produce points, but they're different kinds of players. The thing is, and this is important to remember, Jonathan Drouin has a huge chip in the game. I was there the day that they traded Brett Conley to the Boston Bruins from Tampa. And I was standing right there when Steve Yzerman said, "I made this deal to get you your opportunity to play here." I was standing right there. I'll never forget it. And I thought it was really progressive general managing by Yzerman for doing that, for telling the player, "The reason why we made this deal is so that you would get more ice time." I thought it was really smart and really well done. Jonathan has shown flashes of brilliance, just like Galchenyuk has shown flashes of brilliance. I don't think either one of them has been nearly consistent enough. But the chip in the game that Tampa has is Jonathan Drouin to make their defense better. That's their chip in the game. It's not to trade forward for forward. Now, maybe they will do that. I don't know. But I will tell you this. The people that I've spoken with around the league, if they're trading Drouin at maybe before today, but if they were going to trade Drouin, it wasn't for a forward, it was for a defenseman.
And just to go back to Alex Galchenyuk here for a second, Pierre, there is no equation. I don't know how to figure this out, but I think he's got offensive upside. He scored 30 goals in this league. I think he can get to that number again. I don't think he's a point-a-game guy. I know there's deficiencies inside his own end. But as a general manager, how difficult is it to equate, yeah, I can get 30 goals here, but I can go get this guy who's a 200-foot player. But if that 200-foot player can't get to 20 goals, like, I know it's only a 10-12 goal difference, but in a league that struggles, you know, teams struggle to score goals, especially the Canadians, can you take that step backwards? Like, yeah, I'm going to go get a 200-foot player at the expense of 10-12 goals. Can the Canadians do that?
Three of my most favorite players in the league. I'll go over them. Jonathan Toews in Chicago, knocked out in the first round. Their team didn't score a point in the first two games on home ice. Not bad player, right? You would agree?
Absolutely.
Team went out in the first round. Patrice Bergeron, Boston Bruins, pretty good player.
Yep.
Team went out, 200-foot player, went out in the first round. There's a guy by the name of Kopitar in L.A., pretty good 200-foot player.
Absolutely.
Didn't even make the playoffs. So you better be careful when you talk about those deals.
Pierre, not necessarily related to Galchenyuk. Maybe it ends up being related. But I have a list of players, and I'd like you to tell me if you think they could or couldn't help the Canadians and why. Okay?
I'm listening.
All right. Derek Stepan.
As a number one center, no.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Potentially.
Matt Duchene.
Potentially.
Tyler Johnson.
No.
Not a center, but Gabriel Landeskog.
You're going to be a donut lot. You're going to be a donut team. You're going to have nothing down the middle. You'll be everything on the outside, nothing in the middle. Landeskog is a tremendous leader. He's a very good player, but he's not a center iceman. Duchene is a good player, very good player, but there's a lot of moving parts with him. Tyler Johnson's not a number one. He's not. He was insulated, and he's had some injuries, and once he loses a gear, he's in big trouble. And who was the other one you asked me?
There was Hopkins and Stepan, and I have one more.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had his role totally dismantled because of the way Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl played. That's not Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' fault. That's just the harsh reality of the NHL. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was rushed in the league as an 18-year-old. He's had two major shoulder problems, but he's still potentially a very good player.
And the last one, Paul Stastny.
As the number one center, no.
Nice list, Matt. I like that. Pierre, can we just go back here to Matt Duchene for a second?
Yep.
And I want to draw a comparable. Last year, playing fanboy, I wanted the Canadians to go after Eric Staal in the offseason. And I know that he didn't look good coming down the stretch in Carolina, and he looked really bad playing with the Rangers. But I think the Minnesota Wild are quite content with what they got out of Eric Staal this year. About Matt Duchene, like, how much can we put in that it's been, you know, a year now, maybe a year and a half, that he just hasn't looked good in Colorado? How much should that concern a general manager?
A lot. But he looked great at the World Cup. So you got to be careful. You also have to understand the role you're trying to create. Are you looking for a second-line center? Because if you're looking for a second-line center, that's a good fit. If you're looking for a first, that's different. So I would like you boys to all tell me, who's your first-line center if you trade Galchenyuk?
Well, here's a scenario I played out before.
I'll play out my scenario.
A hypothetical.
Yeah.
If the Canadians take the Ottawa Senators approach and their center ice position ends up being Derek Stepan, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Philip Dano as their 1-2-3.
Well, how are you getting the first two?
Well, as Bob McKenzie has reported that Stepan's name is out there in trade talks.
Yeah, well, he is, but do you see what his cap hit is?
He's $6 million.
You see the amount of years?
Four more.
Yeah, and at how much?
At $6 million.
Thank you very much. So let's go. You got to sign Carey Price. Let's play realistic hockey. Let's not play fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep going.
Well, in this scenario, Plekanec would no longer be with the team, and possibly Yemelin would no longer be with the team.
Okay. And how much is Carey Price going to get paid?
I'm curious to see what they do with that, because my opinion is you should not invest all your money in the goaltending position. But we'll see what they do. I'm not sure.
Who's the best player in the Montreal Canadiens?
Carey Price.
Okay.
All right.
See, this is why I'm getting into the school teacher mode. The cap is a realistic problem in the league. It's a hugely, and when you don't have young assets filtering through your organization, you can't go out and play fantasy land GM. Because if you have young players coming through your system, you can afford to make some cap mistakes, because young players don't cost money. If you don't have good young players coming through your system, you're in trouble. You can't play that game. And so that's why I asked you the question. Ottawa could play the game because they have young players coming through their system, and they went with a 1A, 1B kind of a thing with Kyle Turris, who they got for nothing. They got him for nothing. They traded David Rundblad to get him, please.
Yep.
So they traded nothing to get him, and they also had Derek Brassard. And they basically traded a player that they weren't happy with in Mika Zibanejad. So it's a mix. It's a wash. But look at most of the other players Ottawa has.
Well, I remember you telling us yesterday as well how this draft is really not deep, and the Canadiens are drafting 25th. How are they supposed to fix their depth on the farm? How do they do that now if they're stuck here?
Well, this is a one-off. This year is a one-off. It's not dooming anybody long-term. It's just a one-off because it's like the 99 draft. Go look at the names from the 99 draft. This is what this draft is. It's the 99 draft all over again without the Sedins. That's what it is. Still, there were players that played, and there's still a lot of guys still playing in the league from the 99 draft. They're just not star players. That's the problem. I mean, the 03 draft was the best ever. And, you know, we haven't had a miss. We haven't had a miss since 03. Every draft since 03 has been a very, very good draft. This is a first miss, so it's just a cyclical thing.
Pierre, you brought up, of course, the biggest issue with general managers, and that is salary cap space. And the Las Vegas squad, the Vegas squad is going to put their list out, I believe, they'll be drafting next week, and the players will be made available, I believe, Saturday at 5 p.m., right? The rest of the NHL had submits their list.
Yeah, it'll be public Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Okay. So, Pierre, everybody expecting the bottom-tier players to be on these lists. Do you think that we're going to see some pretty decent hockey players that just might have a larger price tag attached to them, a bigger contract? Can we see some pretty decent names and just say, hey, here's a good player if you want him? Yeah, but you know, I'm more than happy to have somebody take $6.5 million off my books.
Oh yeah, you're going to see some good players there. They're going to be better than people think. And part of it is because they're going to have better defensemen exposed that will give them a chance, and they're going to have at least two good goalies and maybe more. I still am of the belief that they're going to take four goalies. Two of them, I think, are former draft picks of George McPhee's in Washington. I think Michael Neubert and I think Philip Grubauer will get taken by them. I do, because they're potentially the best players made available to Vegas, and then Vegas ends up trading some players. I think they're going to have two really good goalies in Las Vegas. I think they're going to have at least four very, very competent defensemen, maybe more. And so then they're going to go out and have to roll the dice a little bit at the forward position, but I still think they're going to get some good forwards. I really do. This is going to be really interesting to watch. I've done three mock drafts now. They're all subtly a little bit different just based on what some teams might do. But I look at the names, I'm like, they're going to be pretty good. They'll be okay.
Based on what you said about the Canadiens' prospect situation, and when you look at the age of some of the more important players on the Canadiens, can that affect the way a manager approaches the offseason, and kind of can that accelerate some of the moves he might make and increase the urgency, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a brilliant point. Absolutely. They're not dumb people. Mark Bergevin and Rick Dudley and Larry Carrier and Marty Lapointe and Trevor Timmons, they're not dumb people. They're smart guys. But they also know what Boston has. They know what Tampa has. They know what Philadelphia has. They know how good Columbus is. They're pretty well aware of the defense in Carolina. They know that there's a new management team in Florida now, so it won't be a gong show. They know what's going on around them. They know where Ottawa is. They know where Toronto is. They know the potential now in Buffalo's, much like Florida. Change management, change coaches, get real. They know. They're not dumb, so they know they've got to make some moves. They are very aware. I would be shocked if they weren't aware. And if they're not aware, then Mr. Molson has to make some decisions.
Pierre, Claude Julien, Marc Bergevin will sit down as a GM and a head coach and lay out the course for this summer for the Canadiens, and that'll be done right across the league. But how different is it in Vegas? How much input does a coach have into an expansion draft rather than just the acquisitions done to tweak your lineup, which most teams do in July and August?
One of the smartest things I think I saw happen was David Poile hired Barry Trotz a full calendar year along with their staff so that they could go out and actually pro scout. And they did. And they did a really good job. They hit the ground running in Nashville because they knew the pro players they wanted and the type of style they wanted. And they really did. They hit the ground running. They did some really good things there. So I thought that was really smart. Gerard Gallant didn't get hired until about a month and a half ago. So he wasn't out doing any pro scouting. He just got most of his staff the other day. Mike Kelly being one of those guys who's been a longtime friend of Gerard's from Prince Edward Island. They're very, very good friends. And Mike's a good hockey man. So I would be surprised if the coach would have a lot to say in terms of the players, unless they would be players that Mike or Gerard may have coached or Mike may have coached along the way. In particular, Gerard with Montreal or maybe with St. John. Or maybe with Gerard with Florida, Mike was there with him as well. Those would be the situation they'd allude to with the coach. But outside of that, I would say Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee would have most of the say there.
Pierre, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Simon. Take care. Good luck with Knuckles and with Tony. I think they're going to come after you pretty hard.
I know. I'll be ready. I got my boy Mitch Gallo. Mitch Gallo's got my back. We're just not saying it on air, but I'm going in there well prepared.
All right, good stuff. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Take
yes, sir.
Care.
Thank you, Pierre. Gallo, you got my back, right?
Yeah, I told you before. I didn't want to submit my list for the expansion draft between the four of you, right?
Yes, sir.
Might be a little bit easier for you there, Simon, yes. Because Tony Marinaro has actually been traded
yes.
to the morning show for a couple days.
Oh. T-O-N-Y, M-A-R-I, N-A-R-O.
Let's put the cards on the table. Back in a bit.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around.